On this day, our meditation from the Word of God is found in Luke chapter 2, the verses 10 and 11, these familiar words. And the angel said unto them, that is, shepherds, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It is my prayer that this good tidings of great joy be something that is brought to you today in your souls. It is my prayer that we might leave hearing this Word of God, possessing in our hearts the joy of the sovereign, gracious love of the Holy God for unworthy sinners, for me. There are times when a child of God confesses that their faith is something that they know, but because of trial and struggle and worse, complacency, their faith is not something that they experience as a vibrant reality in their heart. Then there is a key that the Holy Spirit must use to unlock our hard and indifferent hearts. That key is to show us our need, to show us that we are sinners, hell-deserving, awful sinners, saved by grace alone. The message of the wonder of great joy is brought to shepherds, only to shepherds, those represented in the shepherds, those possessing the spiritual attitude, the lowly, humble, knowing their need, shepherds. Our minds can be stuffed with learning, our hands full of things, our hearts merry with entertainment and holiday cheer, but what will that profit us when we die? It is Jesus, both Savior and Lord, who we must have today. Then we have great joy, abiding, lasting joy, and a quietness and calm in our souls. So let's go to Bethlehem, to the fields and hills of Bethlehem in the dark night in which Jesus was born, to hear, to truly hear the message that came to shepherds of great joy. We do not have an angel from the realms of glory to wing his flight to give us this message today. We have something much better. You have something better. You have the Holy Scriptures. If you don't think that's better, that is the Bible, over heavenly angels, then you know what? You don't understand what the Bible is. It is the more sure word. It is the living word to which we do well to take heed in the darkness of this present world, 2 Peter chapter 1. It is the dynamo of the Holy Spirit to bring the good news of great joy unto our hearts, to bring it to us personally, exactly where we are. Afraid? Guilty? Job layoff? Burden? Lonely? Possessing a secret you don't want anyone to know about? To you. To a sinner, he brought the good news of great joy, of salvation by grace alone. It had come to this. We are afraid of the Holy God. Our sin has thoroughly alienated us from God. An angel had been sent by God with the greatest news the world could ever hear or will ever hear. A virgin had just given birth on a barn floor to a son, and that son was mighty God in the human flesh. Angels are now sent to shepherds who are in the fields nearby. Shepherds are of the lowliest class. They are poor. They had a hard life. They were looked down upon, and they were avoided because of their smell. They lived with their sheep. The message of the angel of the birth of Jesus Christ was sent not to King Herod, heedless and sleepless, as he that night walked the marble floors of a palace, insane for power. It was not sent by God to Pharisees, sleeping soundly that night on a pillow of their own good works. It was not sent to the wealthy, who were exhausted in their beds that night after pursuing the vanishing gold and silver of this world. But it was sent to shepherds. Shepherds who were young. The Virgin Mary was young. She was a teenager, and so were the shepherds. They were older children, junior high children and up. We read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 11, Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all thy children here?" And Jesse said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." Shepherds were young, uneducated, inexperienced, not gained the strength and the experience of years. They were boys. They were poor. Why does God send the message of the birth of Jesus to shepherds? The answer is because no matter who you are, your circumstances, job, education, experience, only when you are humbled before God and know your nothingness as a sinner, can you embrace Jesus Christ and the marvel of His birth. Shepherds here are a picture of the remnant of God's grace, of those who belong to aged Simeon and Anna and Zacharias and Elizabeth and Joseph, the ones who were looking for the consolation of Israel, Luke chapter 2, 25. This is very striking. This is very comforting. In the dark days when it appeared that hope in God was totally lost, there were not only aged saints, but there was the faith of youth. There were young boys who hung on the promise made long ago, "Your God will come, and He will save you. Behold the Lamb of God." Suddenly, as the shepherds watched in the dark night, the glory of God shone all around them. Verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Note that it was not just the angel that came upon them, but the glory of the Lord. Now, angels themselves are exceedingly glorious. They are always around the throne of God. They come from the presence of God. They emit God's glory and heavenly brilliance. And whenever an angel appears, this is what is felt. But in addition, there was a Shekinah. There was an aurora of the glory of Jehovah. "My glory," says God, "which I give to no other." The glory Jesus had with the Father, God's glory, something of divine glory, came down that night upon those hills. And the shepherds were sore afraid. No wonder. Afraid means phobia. Sore afraid. Mega phobia. They trembled. All of a sudden, in the dark night, the God who was always there revealed part, just a little part, of His light and brilliance. He sent an angel, just one, of those created beings as God's worshiper, the Son of the Morning. Shepherds' eyes popped out, and they shook in fear. But that fear was and is Adam's fear. It's our fear. It's a sinner's fear. It's the fear of a sinner before a holy God. It was the glory that exposed them. The light of the angel and the glory of God not only exposed the blades of grass on the hill, but it exposed what was hidden within their hearts. "Adam, where art thou, Adam? I was afraid, and I hid myself, for I am naked." The light of God exposes us. It shines into the cracks and crevices. It exposes everything, the secrets within. You can't cover it up. The light around them brought to their sight what they wanted hidden, and not only exposed, but threatened with destruction. For it is a holy light. And when it gets near to us, it burns. Have you been close enough to the fire that it burns before the flame touches? They had great fear. What fear? The fear of a sinner before the holy God when I am exposed for what I am and threatened with what I deserve, God's judgments. There is good news of great joy brought to such sinners who are so shown their sin by the glory of God. The good news is Mary's babe. Emmanuel is come. to the shepherds was the message, fear not. You're being exposed. You're being destroyed in judgment. Don't fear. Be strong. Be not afraid. The purpose of the angel was not to frighten, but to encourage. It was to announce and to interpret the marvel of marvels that had just taken place in Bethlehem, something that it was promised for 4,000 years, something that had never happened before and will never happen again. A virgin gave birth to a son. The Messiah had come, the one who will crush Satan and open the prison to those who are bound and give sight to the blind. Hear the good news. He who created all things and for whom they were created. He without whom nothing was made that ever was made. The eternal, glorious, mighty Son of God is now born in the flesh as a little babe. He is now bundled in torn strips of rags. He is laid in a feed trough. The one who turned Egypt's rivers to blood. The one who turned out the light in Egypt for 3 days and brought the angel of death and parted the Red Sea. The one who fed 3, 4, 5 million people for 40 years with manna in the desert. The one who held the earth still for Joshua. The Almighty God of God is now in our flesh. A lowly babe in a manger. Why such poverty, you ask? Why the stench of a barn floor? Why, oh why not a palace? Why not a soft knit blanket that you had? Why not a warm room with a cradle at least? Because God's Son has come to save you. No, because the shame of your sin and its awful judgment has come upon Him. He came to take it from you as His child. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Do you understand this? This is the joy. This is the good news of grace, sovereign grace, particular grace, saving grace. But there's more. Fear not, said the angel, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Fear not, but behold, behold, I will give you a word, says the angel. Hear the word that I am about to speak to you. A Savior is born, God in the flesh. And the more we meditate on the doctrine of the incarnation, God born in flesh, the happier we become. Oh, bring your fear, your sorrow, your worry to this manger. See Him there? See Him soon upon a cross. See Him risen? See Him ascended to the right hand of God? Who is He? He is the eternal Son of God, you say. Yes, with us and for us. He is God's amazing grace. This is good news. He is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What kind of a Savior? Well, He's not the kind of Savior who will make your wife, husband, brother, or newborn child come out of the grave today. Oh, He will one day. He will take them out of the grave to Himself, for He will save body and soul. But He is not one who will today take away all of these things. He will not take away reoccurrence of cancer. He will not today make you walk as once you walked as a young man or remember as once you did when you were in your prime. He will not lower your blood pressure. He is not one who is going to take away all diseases, multiple sclerosis, and birth defects. He is not going to change the circumstances necessarily of your life. That Christmas joy, namely the joy that Jesus has come supposedly to free us from all the problems and troubles of this present time, is a joy that wakes up the next day and discovers, I'm still the same. I'm still the lonely, selfish, hell-deserving sinner. A policeman will tell you that this time of the year of Christmas, the time that is worst for suicide, drinking, and alcohol, lonely, depressed, will tell you that it's the worst time. For if you depend for your joy upon the externals, you will wake up tomorrow in despair. Jesus is not that kind of a Savior. He doesn't do what alcohol does, or suicide, or money, or popularity, or clothes. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. When I stand before the holy light of God, and I am exposed, and I see the destruction I deserve, Jesus came to take that all on Himself, the shame, the penalty, and the loss. He did not just bear a mass of human problems to make our life manageable on earth, but He bore my sin. And by bearing away my sin, He has borne me to the Lord. That's the good news today. That's the mega joy. What is joy? Joy is to know the sovereign love of a holy God. Do you have that joy today? What is your joy today? Will it stand and will it endure when God's glory shines around you? When you close your eyes in death? Is this your joy in every sorrow, tear, and trial? Do you say, I have no joy today. It is bitter. I'm angry with what has happened. I'm angry at others. I'll never forget, and I'll never forgive. Do you know personally what it is to be exposed and naked before God? Do you know yourself as the sinner? To you, who don't deserve it, to you who can't save yourself, to you is born great joy, the joy of God's saving, particular, and irresistible grace. I have been sent by Jesus Christ today to announce the glad tidings of great joy. As surely as the angels were sent to the shepherds, so surely does God send His word to His children. This message today to all people, not just Jews, not just high and mighty, not just to certain classes or races or nations, but to all people, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To you personally, to you. The gospel always comes personally by God's grace to each child of God, known of God from eternity, in whom the Holy Spirit brings a word of conviction. This word is now spoken. Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day a Savior. The message comes not through an angel, but it comes through the word of Christ preached to you. A Savior is born. There are then only two things that you need to answer. Why? Why would God do this? Why would He give His Son for my shame? The answer is because of sovereign, eternal, gracious love. Because He first loved us. Hear that message. The devil wants the circumstances of your life to be more important to you than this message, but the circumstances of your life are not more important than this message. This word is the only thing that matters today and every day and always. My Savior is born of God's free grace and love. That's my joy. And the second question is this, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? And the answer? Honor Him, serve Him, obey Him, love Him, thank Him, praise Him, rejoice before Him. It's very striking. The shepherds didn't need to ask, what are we supposed to do? They knew. Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this wonder that has come to pass. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. That is what your life must be all about. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy words, so beautiful, so rich, so personal, and so satisfying. Bless us as we celebrate the birth the wonder of thy love, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray in his precious name. Amen.